We have this friend who used to be a big Wikipedia editor, and he talked about this guideline that they have internally, which is that something deserves its own Wikipedia article if it is at least as interesting as the least interesting Pokemon, because they had decided that everyone was okay with each Pokemon having its own article. So that became the metric. I don't know what the least interesting Pokemon even is.
Oh, God, guys.
Oh, hey, Cole.
Gary. Oh, Zach.
Wow. Hi, Cole.
Oh, wow. I didn't expect you to be here. Oh, man, the craziest thing happened. I was attacked in the alley outside the studio.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
you okay?
Guys, like, dropped down from the shadows and just, like, started throwing a bunch of, like, metal shit at me. Like, let me pull this out of my back. Wow, that was pretty deep. It's a ninja star?
It's an egg.
Oh, it's an egg and a ninja star. No. Oh, sorry. I'm losing a lot of blood here. Gary, there's something written on this.
Here, let me crack this bad boy open. Can't break an egg without breaking a few egg. There's a ninja star inside. And then on the ninja star, it is from Black Manta Co. Black Manta Co. You've been subject to some kind of wrath of some kind of Black Manta.
Fuck.
Yeah, fuck. Fuck, man. Fuck. Did you do this, Zach?
I think I did.
This is your ninja magic that you can talk to me about encyclopedia as well.
Yeah.
Simultaneously shooting coal with egg stars.
Yeah, sorry. The encyclopedia stuff, I was trying to figure out a more confusing interface than setting up the ninja magic to different key strokes.
Yeah.
Keystrokes. That's what you call the things on an NES controller.
Yeah. Yeah, you get a standard QWERTY NES controller and you just set it up. You know, control shift A to jump and...
All right, guys, I got something for you here. You know, the control pad, it's been stagnating. We've had number pads before. Let this blow your mind. Full QWERTY.
Yeah, like a old cell phone.
Like isn't that just like a PC?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sort of a crappy PC.
Yeah.
Like
an Atari, like ST or 800 or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were old even when the NES was new.
It's true. And especially if it's a PC that's just like a one-handed controller that just has QWERTY on it. So you can only spell like, you know, RET. Like, roo.
Stewardesses.
Yeah. Stewardesses.
Unless you meant only QWERTY.
I did. I meant only QWERTY.
Sorry, wet stewardesses.
Yeah, like, wet
pets. You'll catch your death of cold.
Yeah, poor waitresses in the sky. Yeah. Hey, Zach.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I'm Zach Johnson.
And Zach Johnson with Gary Butterfield and Cole Ross.
Hi.
Hey, you guys know us, and we're continuing our violence month, where people are inflicting games upon us, and Zach has chosen to inflict upon us Wrath of the Black Manta.
Had you guys never played this before, or seen it, or heard of it?
Never, ever.
I've heard of it, but not played it.
It loomed weirdly large in my childhood, I think because I was really impressed by the screenshots of it in some advertisement and then really wanted the game and then got it, and then it was kind of fine.
Yeah. It's not the worst game we've done for the show. It does have a lot of
It's weirdly ambitious. Like, it has a lot going on, but then it makes you go through the same room like 1,000 times in a row.
Yeah, that all say exit. And are not an exit.
Yeah, every single day. I think that the localization team just, like, there was a typo in their dictionary, and they thought that the word for door was EXIT.
Yeah.
Like anytime you, I suppose anytime you go into one room, you're exiting the room previous.
Sure.
Like, I guess I exit my hallway to enter the bathroom, which I then exit to go. So, they might get by on a technicality, but it seems like it's not the most efficient use of language.
It's weirdly existential. Exitential.
Exitential.
Yes.
There are weird. It just doesn't feel fun to play. Like, it just, like, you have that weird ninja vertical jump and no horizontal that makes you, like, and you move really, really slow.
It's just they added enough stuff to Shinobi to make it boring.
Yeah, even though it is still like real bonkers as far as what you fight, because like Shinobi, you know, famously you fight like Batman and Spider-Man, and this one you fight like giant thugs and Baron Samedi, which is also, you know, a little less copyrighty, but no less bonkers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they never really explain why that guy is so big.
Because his team is tiny.
Yeah, because, yeah.
Well, sure. Okay. That's why. Okay.
Toxic amounts of irony. Come on. I'm gonna
remember to not name my kids that.
Yeah. Or do if you want them to be like massive mountain people.
You want them to be giants, everyone.
Yes.
Who roam the earth.
To loom large over the streets and inspire fear.
I'm going to go out in the yard and toss me around.
If it's for irony's sake, if you name your kid whatever you don't want them to be, like you'd name them something like, you know, failure or like something like that. And then they'd be like, that's really, they call him failure, but don't worry, he's really successful.
Yeah.
It's just an ironic nickname.
It's like how everybody who's named Chastity turned up to be a stripper.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Name him Hates Your Dad.
Yeah. Yeah. And it turns out he loves his mom. Damn it.
Can't win. It's less copyrighty. However, I immediately identified the name of the thug that you interrogate. Not the name, but the face of the thug as something from the How to Draw Marvel Comics book that I got from Barnes & Noble at age 8.
Which one was that?
Yeah, I just saw that on Wikipedia. Yeah. It's crazy. It looks like it's like a weird, it's like a Vincent Price mixed with Donald Sutherland from Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah, yeah, with like 10% Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, and been Dafoeified.
Yep.
It's weird. There's like a different little kid sprite and a different bad guy sprite. This is awesome. So normally in this studio at night, whenever we choose to record is when a loud band starts playing next door. And now, because it's the middle of the day on a Saturday, there are people up fixing the roof directly overhead.
Is it a loud band in the third day job?
It could be.
It's hard to make it in San Fran.
Oh, it was like that thing I was about to talk about that was from a conversation not with you guys. I was sitting right here when I talked to somebody else about the band Local H recently, but it wasn't you guys. When we were doing a Twitch stream live event here, and a man with a jackhammer started working on the sidewalk right outside the window of my office.
At that point, somebody's gaslighting you.
Yeah, they did buy a studio in the noise district.
in the CNC noise factory.
Yeah, next door.
Yeah,
that's the band cheaper. That practices next door.
Yeah.
So what I was trying to say past the scraping, there's like a different bad guy sprite and a different kid sprite for each sort of act mm-hmm. of the game. Not a different song though. Just the same music for the whole game. I watched a YouTube playthrough, like 100% run of this. It was like maybe 45 minutes long, and in the second act, it's you get like Rorschach with his mask off. And in the third act, it's like eye patch cigar guy.
Yeah.
And I think in the third act, the kid is instead of the blonde kid from the first act, it's like Gary Coleman. And in the second, it's like weird progeria kid. Like the kid has just like a full head of gray old man hair.
Progeria boy isn't going to rescue himself. Like right. It is the blonde kid's real creepy looking. I don't care. I don't care for that blonde kid one bit.
It also does seem like it's just been scanned out of something else because, like, oh, I keep rescuing these kids that are right in the middle of taking off their jacket.
You had to stop them before they make a terrible mistake. You'll catch cold.
Yeah, are they in blocks of ice or are they in like weird glass cages when you rescue them?
I assume that they are S&M glass cages. Like some kind of, but one of the weird things about rescuing kids in this game is you don't have to do it.
Right.
And it has no impact on anything.
That, like, even though it is directly the plot.
You don't find out where all his secret doors are. Did you guys figure out how the secret doors work?
Oh no, but you find like allusions to them. Like,
yeah, they tell you about a lot of them. When they say shoot the wall and a secret door will appear, what they mean is get right up against the wall, shoot it 5 times, and you will teleport to a secret room.
I couldn't determine what the verb shoot meant because you throw those ninja stars, but you're also charging up for a special attack with your ninja arts.
That's true.
Yeah, one of which is a missile, which you shoot more than a star.
Well, sometimes it's a missile. Sometimes it's a ring of fireballs that circle out around you. Sometimes it's making a copy of yourself on top of you so you can shoot a star at tiny space.
You can sneak into movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, missiles are ninja art. Remember Project Paperclip? We got all those ninjas from Nazi Germany over here to start working on our space program.
The most useful magic is the turn invisible one, according to watching speedruns of this, which you don't get until the second level, which you also like spend a lot of time flying on a kite. Like you steal a kite from a guy and it becomes a side-scrolling shooter.
It becomes a whimsical French art film.
Yeah, it's very evocative and weird.
That is a thing that I remember from a lot of video games as a kid and nothing else ever.
Those kites, that flying on those kind of kites?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's a way, you know, it's a like a bit of familiar cultural stuff for somebody, maybe? is that a thing in Japan? The idea of a guy just picking up a kite and flying around? Like, is it a shorthand? That it is a comprehensible shorthand for suddenly turning a platformer into a shooter.
Yeah.
Like,
I feel like I've seen pictures of it, but I feel like it has to be apocryphal. You know, I can't imagine that actually. I mean, I'm no aerodynamician, but I assume that doesn't work.
Yeah, kites don't work that way.
I mean, I know that the sort of American cultural version of it, jumping off of a tall building with an umbrella, which then acts as a parachute, that totally works.
Yeah.
Which you also see in video games all the time.
Yeah, my cousin just did that wrong.
Yeah, I think he broke both his legs.
Rest in peace, Ronnie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the Japanese boy in his blob, he would eat a kale jelly bean to turn into a kite instead of turning into an umbrella. Oh, although that's also not what the umbrella was for. I think it was for stopping rubber balls from hitting you in the head or something.
For me, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it weirdly didn't. Well, I think it worked for both, though. I think you could go down, fall slowly. It was a useful jelly bean.
It has all the super nutrients you need in order to turn into an umbrella.
Yeah.
There was also there's the art of spider, which lets you burrow underground like a spider. which it seemed to only be useful in one spot in the game, and it was just so those weird ground-piercing bamboo spears couldn't hurt you.
Mm.
Which it seems like they'd be able to, right? If the bamboo spear stopped when they hit the ground, then it would make sense that being underground would protect you from them, but they don't.
Yeah. Yeah, they would just stab you more. And then you'd get a bunch of dirt in your wounds.
Yeah,
and you wouldn't be able to keep rolling. Like, I feel like if you were on the ground and you were impaled by a bamboo spike, you could just, like, rotate 90 degrees and keep crawling.
Now I'm just picturing, like a side-scrolling shooter like this or, you know, adventure game that's like The Visit. You know, that Flash game where Mario goes to jail for killing a Goomba?
That was like the first Major Bueno game that was put out there, right?
Yeah, yeah. Except this time, every time you, like, you touch a spike or, you know, some kind of trap or a bamboo stick, you just get tetanus. as you go along, you slowly, like, your character slowly can't talk anymore because his jaw locks up.
You just keep strangling guys in red shirts and going, and they say, "I don't know anything.
I don't understand you.
What is it? Just like the monster." Man, did you guys, when you were growing up, have the fear of lockjaw put into you?
Yeah,
yeah. I think that's come up on Abject Suffering before.
Has it? Okay, sorry.
I don't want to derail the lockjaw conversation we're getting into because we never heard Zach's take on lockjaw, pro or con. But like I think that we have talked about that and the constant tetanus shots and stuff.
Yeah, I'm terrified. I'm terrified of it even still to this day. One of my worst nightmares is stepping on a nail.
Well, that's for the Home Alone.
I think I was afraid of it, but my parents weren't particularly. So even though I spent a lot of time, you know, running around in knocked down barns and stuff as a kid, I never really got the fear of it in me.
Hmm.
I kind of vaguely knew about it, and maybe it was a thing that we would pretend to have happen to us.
To your parents?
To make it harder to drink soda.
To add a little bit of a handicap to soda drinking?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I was so good at it compared to my friends. You know, I didn't want to make them feel bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the best way to drink soda is just to sluice it through your teeth. That's a real good way
like
to...
Like Jell-O?
Yeah. It's a real good way to get all the essential nutrients and corrosives.
Yeah.
Directly to where they'll do the most damage.
Oh man, that's something I hadn't thought about in a long time. Like liquefying Jell-O by like repeatedly pushing it through your teeth and back.
Oh yeah,
that's the only way to eat Jell-O, and that's why Jell-O with stuff in it is bullshit.
Yeah, because you get that grape that just clogs up the works.
Yep.
You have to take a quick drink of soda to like Drano and clear that grape out.
Yeah. You just swish the soda around until it dissolves the chunks in the Jello.
Until it dissolves the grape.
Yeah.
And then eventually you're just like just letting the slurry fall down your throat through no action of your own.
Some kind of starfish monster just pre-digesting everything.
Yeah, I just want gravity to take care of this. I don't want to actually use my throat.
Yeah.
One bit. Did you guys ever do that with things when you were little? Like drink water and then try to see how much you could let it fall down your throat without swallowing?
No.
No, I never did that. I think I would have been too afraid of choking on it.
You do. Like, that's what happened. That's the definition of choking. Like, I don't know what I thought was going to happen. You 100% choke.
Yeah, like
you're practicing for in case you step on a different kind of rusty nail and get lock throat.
Yeah. Like, that's my favorite genre of music.
Yeah, came out of tuba. You know?
Yeah.
Like, the second tuba throat singers got amplification. Shit got real.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just those World War II throat mics that they're using.
Yeah. it's the microphone from Metal Gear Solid that senses what you're about to say so you don't vocalize it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, I'm so sorry that I'm ruining this show with all this noise.
we'll do what we can.
It's okay. Yeah, it is quite all right.
It does sound like a cartoon version of somebody sawing something.
Yeah, I don't actually understand. Like, what they're doing is fixing a hole in the roof, and what it sounds like they're doing to fix it is making a much larger hole. Like, well, the old hole isn't there anymore. Our work is done.
Making a second hole so, like, the first hole isn't as lonely.
Yeah. So the water can get back out.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, the water not having an escape route.
Because water operates under the same rules as the lady who built the Winchester Mystery House.
Exactly. Winchester Mystery Water. $1 bottle.
I love that the plot for this is basically just Death Wish 3.
You're a real white guy in this, right? Like, whenever they showed a close-up on this guy, I was like, oh, this guy's a white guy. This is an American ninja.
In the ending cutscene, he is revealed to have huge hair.
Okay. I didn't actually get to the end.
Neither did I.
From the back, he kind of looks like a mummy. Whenever you're facing the person that you're talking to in a cutscene, there's a weird sort of, like, you can't really see the eyes. You can just see a kind of a cutout chunk where your mouth is.
I like the idea of this being about a mummy. Like, mummy ninja, that's got legs. And a mummy terrorizing all the people from the How to Draw Comics the Marvel Way.
Yeah. He also, when it first begins, the phone rings and he's like, who's calling in the middle of the night? And he was apparently just sleeping in his ninja mask. So he's the Black Manta. He's just been taken by surprise. The purple suit is actually just his pajamas.
Yeah, he's always the Black Manta. The real costume is him at the end. This is the real him.
Did you ever play Sphinx and the Cursed Mummy, Gary or Zach?
No.
This was it was an early PlayStation 2 era platformer. Came out in 2004. The Sphinx sections were really unremarkable, like action platformer kind of stuff. But the mummy sections were the 3D WarioWare game that I always wanted.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Like, you know, if you needed to get through a small little opening, the mummy would take off his head and, like, roll it through and you could explore. Like, it was straight up puzzle solving with this mummy that could just endlessly punish his crazy, jerky body.
What platform is this on?
PS2, GameCube, and Xbox.
Huh. That sounds great.
Yeah. It was published by THQ and developed by Eurocom.
Mummies always felt, because, I don't know, I was kind of old when the Brendan Fraser, The Mummy, came out. So mummies always felt like this weird, like, oh, that's that thing from that Abbott and Costello movie, as opposed to that's a monster.
Right.
Like, it's really just, a mummy is just kind of a zombie with wrapping on it. Right?
Yeah, I feel like I've talked about mummies before. Like, I don't understand why mummies are supposed to be scary. Like, they're like a zombie that I don't know what it does to you when it gets, what is the mummy's endgame?
Well, I think it curses you and then you die 40 years later.
Like, yeah, later. Like, it curses you with, like, spores from rotten human that you breathe in and then you just die. Yeah, exactly. Like, that's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
Like, if I got 40 more years left in me, I'm pretty lucky at this point. Like, I should find a mummy.
Yeah, like, you've probably smelled something that is already doing that to you.
Exactly. Right? Time. You know, yeah, like, just age. They're just the age of monsters.
Yeah, just if nothing else, the decay of your own flesh will eventually curse you to a death at some point in the future.
Yeah, all you can hope is that you get a bunch of benign curses and it is more or less not painful.
A bunch of curses that, like, will equal out.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, mummies aren't scary though. Like those things being a monster.
What is? I mean, the mummy in the mummy was pretty scary. What would he do to people? Did he sort of desiccate them? Did they get like chose the wrong cup syndrome?
A little bit. So here's the thing. I was just the right age for the Brendan Fraser, The Mummy. So I harbor some amount of affection for at least the first one. And the premise was super cool because this mummy was reversing the rituals that was done to him, like all the stuff that was taken out. So all the people who desecrated his tomb, he was going after them and like taking their tongue so he could get a tongue back and taking like different parts, taking eyes and things like that. And even scarier, he had these like he could summon these clouds of scarabs on demand. And it was super creepy because these scarabs would like burrow under your skin and like devour your organs.
Just press one on two scarab on your hotel remote.
Yep. on demand scarabs.
I meant to watch Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium, not this.
Dustin Hoffman dealing with death. No, Natalie Portman, what's happening?
When you're checking out, the girl behind the counter is like, oh, and we see a $40 charge on your incidentals.
For scarabs.
I must have been some kind of mistake. Yeah, you know, just bill it. It'll be fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Also, I'm dead because these scarabs devoured me from the inside out.
I didn't use all the scarabs. So I had to pay for all the scarabs, or can you put them back in the TV chamber?
Yeah, I came after the first 2 minutes. Like, what are you going to do?
Oh, just go ahead and charge the card. We're definitely that guy and not a bunch of scarabs inflating his body.
Also, bring me some sugar water.
How many of these credit cards you need? We have 5. Take all, Cuban. Now you must go.
Yeah, why do they even have that service?
It seems to create nothing but problems.
How deep does this conspiracy go? It's
it's only if you stay at a hotel that's built above an ancient Egyptian pyramid.
Yeah.
Burial ground.
Were they bury pyramids? Yeah.
Curse and all.
Yeah, they're all really pyramids. Big. It's
And they're all in Vegas, just, weirdly enough.
Yeah, there's one that's the entire size of Vegas. So every hotel is just lousy with scarabs. Yeah. and scary with lice.
The MGM Grand is just... Or is the Luxor? Which is the one from The Stand that the scene at the end doesn't make any sense after Randall Flagg drops Nadine off? Like, I read that and I was like, that hotel's a pyramid. And she would just slide down it like a funny
slide down. Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah. Not deadly.
Yeah.
Probably the MGM Grand is the one that looks like a Sphinx, kind of.
A little bit. Huh. Yeah.
I assume that's the MGM lion.
Yeah, it must be the Luxor.
Maybe the Sphinx was too. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It just roars.
And scarabs just come out.
Yeah. Oh, God.
As if Vegas wasn't awful enough.
It's at the beginning of Noah, the lion roars, and it's just a torrent of seawater pours out of its mouth. Fills up the recording.
It's like, Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, and they just open the floodgates.
Fill this theater. Yeah. Just trying to get you in the mood for Noah.
Yeah, It subjects you. Well, that's an entirely different story. It subjects you to the plagues.
Honey, I Killed the Audience.
So Wrath of the Black Manta.
Yeah, there's so few scarabs in this game.
I know, right?
There really were.
You know.
I don't know. Like, I'm kind of into the idea of interrogating enemies.
Yeah, if only it paid off in any way whatsoever. Like, if it didn't pay off with nonsensical hints that don't mean anything.
No, I don't believe it. I don't know nothing.
Yeah, okay, great.
Yeah, it was all just plot, right? Like, they never... Because it was, like, the kids or the notes, which were presumably from the kids. You know, and if they could get out of that cage to leave you a note, why did they go get back in the cage?
Well, because they're good. They're well-behaved.
Yeah, to keep them free. Okay. You know?
Yeah, it wouldn't be worth rescuing otherwise.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't want to rescue a bunch of bad kids trying to escape.
Yeah, a bunch of rebels.
Like, you want to rescue good kids who know their place.
Yeah, only kids who recognize the power of authority deserve to be rescued. That's the that's the message of this. Do what
and
you're told.
And that's why it's optional to rescue them.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been interesting maybe if those red guys had been really hard to kill and getting close enough to them to strangle them gave you some plot and some... I mean, I guess they despawned all the other enemies on the screen. When you got
well,
back
that's just
from
so
there.
That, so it's not like you're just getting stabbed in the back while you're holding this guy by the throat, which would make tons of sense.
Or if all of them were Steven Seagal from Hard to Kill.
Mm. And thus hard to kill?
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotcha.
You know, buddy. It wasn't a very deep joke, but
this is the point where I'm trying to think of other Steven Seagal movies.
You know, this was originally known as a Ninja Cop Saizo in Japan.
Ninja like, Cop?
You're a ninja cop in this.
I can't wait for the sequel, Ninja Cop and a Half, where he gets a little black kid.
Ninja Kindergarten Cop?
Is it being sarcastic? Because it's like the police and the FBI can't take care of this because they're not allowed to go kill and beat people up for information.
I think that's the idea behind it. Or it's a verb, and what you're doing when you take the information off the guys is give them a ninja cop. By which I mean just grab their butt with your hand until notes fall out.
Okay, you're copping a ninja feel.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Ninja
and
goose.
And then, yep, damn it, you beat me to ninja goose. Fuck. That was going to be a rich vein. I was going to take us on a walk to ninja goose, and you just...
Well, it could still be. Say your ninja goose joke.
Yeah, so, you know.
Your goose goof.
It's not worth it.
Yeah, goose goofing. We've done just funning. Let's do some goose goofing.
No, you ruined it.
Be the goosest to Gary's gallant.
Be the goose that you want to see in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be the goose that you want to walk over your grave.
Is that a thing?
When you shudder, like if you get a weird chill or whatever, you'll say a goose walked over my grave.
That's weird because I've always said, oh, somebody's walking over my grave.
That somebody was a goose. Oh.
Yeah.
Be somebody or be somebody's goose.
It's all the guy from Top Gun, just like walking through cemeteries alone and lost.
Oh, man. That guy's ghost. He's so mad.
Yeah. Is that guy dead? Is Goose dead?
Yes, Goose died.
The character Goose is dead.
Yeah. Oh, okay, gotcha. Is the actor dead?
The actor's still alive. He was the star of ER.
He's Tom Cruise.
George Clooney.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. If you ignore the absolute biggest movie star that also starred in that.
Right.
Yeah. No, so they're developing condos around my neighborhood. Around these condos, they also have like fake artificial ponds, which attract huge populations of geese. And so when I'm driving around Oakley, you just have these dead geese on the road.
Mm.
Yeah, it's really gross.
Their meat has a rich smoky flavor.
Yeah. I've eaten goose. Have you eaten goose?
Oh, yeah.
No, really? Have you?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I ate goose for the first time. I was when I was in Dennis's wedding at his bachelor party. His dad is a hunter, and he's like, "Yeah, here's a big plate of meat." And I was like, "Okay, I'm game." And he's like, "Be real careful."
Whenever anyone introduces something as a plate of meat, you should be careful. Like,
yeah. By the way, there's also a lot of tiny bullets in this. Don't chew too hard.
That's exactly. Yeah, he said you should probably chew really carefully because you might bite down on some shot and break your molars. I was like, oh, what is this? Oh, this is goose. And I'm like, oh, well, okay. I've already eaten it, so I can't be upset.
I wonder if there's a market for like packing a shotgun shell with peppercorns or like Skittles.
There's a joke thing about that. There's a website for it, but it turned out to be a prank.
Oh, it was a prank?
Oh.
Yeah, the flavor shot.
I wanted that to be a piece of whimsy in this world, but no.
No.
It was like
no.
Salt and pepper and tarragon.
It's like unreasonably dark to geese.
Yeah, I suppose.
If we're just literally just killing them with the spices to season them.
I saw it for deer.
Say what?
I saw it, well, I guess whatever you could shoot somebody with. Yeah. No, I thought it was advertised for deer, but
oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Deer's good eating too.
Yeah. I've had like venison sausage is really good.
Yeah.
We're all Midwest boys.
What's the weirdest animal you've eaten, Zach?
Oh, I don't know. You know, I grew up eating rabbit, and then like when we went to France and there was rabbit on the menu, everybody was freaked out except for me. But rabbit's not that weird. People eat that all the time.
Yeah.
I never, you know, I mean, I grew up eating, I guess, squirrel. You know, my uncles would hunt squirrel sometimes and my grandma would brine that up and cook it.
That's pretty weird. You know. That's a good answer for that.
Yeah, I've eaten squirrel. Yeah.
I've not eaten squirrel. That's not on my list.
It's gamey. What? I mean,
it's gamey.
Stringy.
No. I mean, I don't know. I haven't eaten squirrel to my knowledge.
Oh, yeah.
Like if somebody just like presented a plate and said, here's some meat. Like, and I'm like, sorry. Right. Yeah, no, I'm not going to eat this. Yeah. And then it just turns out to be squirrel. Like that could have definitely happened.
I'm positive that I've eaten horse at some point. Like I think that like everybody has. With factory food and shit, like I've gone to IKEA, like I know that that's a possibility.
Yeah, somebody like a horse has just fallen into the food vat.
Yeah, like into the sluice. Yeah,
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 just the sluice is loose.
Yeah, the sluice is loose, and just like just there, there's probably some weird stuff that's been extruded into some kind of food product. Like,
just I'm imagining the factory where the security and the seals on things are so lax and loose that a horse could fall into the assembly line without anybody noticing.
Like a horse sneaks in the same way a bird sneaks into a grocery store.
Yeah. We got ponies in the pipes.
Instead of just like fluttering around the rafters, it's just like charging into shelves and knocking them over, just
thundering down the aisles.
And then just some pimply faced teen comes up and starts like solemnly putting the cans back up.
Yeah. What we can do, he just has to find his way out.
He'll get out eventually.
Yeah. Man, Hassenpfeffer is fucking great. I never ate rabbit until I came to Cincinnati, where we have all these German restaurants. And it's like, yeah, fuck yeah, give me a plate of rabbit. That's really good.
I don't think I've had rabbit before.
I remember learning that and then feeling like a lot weirder about that king who always demanded his Hassenpfeffer when in the Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Oh, what does Hassenpfeffer taste like? What is that?
It's just like a rabbit sausage, right? Like,
yeah. Okay. I mean, it tastes like spiced meat. Like, I can't say, oh, this is like pork or whatever. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I guess it is a dumb, I've asked multiple times, like, what does that taste like? But that is a dumb question. Like, because things just, like, there's really no way to describe a flavor. Mm-hmm. Except in saying it tastes like something else that you've already tasted.
Right.
Like, it is the sense that is the hardest to convey with adjectives.
Yeah.
There's a lot of subtlety that
doesn't
come across. Yeah. But, I mean, you can say, oh, it's really salty, or... You know,
yeah, exactly. It can be salty, umami, sweet, bitter. Like, exactly. It can be those things.
Like five elemental things. Like, I don't know, like if somebody asked me to describe, like, oh, what does grass-fed beef taste like? Oh, it tastes like it's weirdly fish-like in a way you wouldn't expect. You know, from,
but
like,
again, you're still describing it in terms of other.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like, but like I can describe that in a way that I couldn't describe Hassenpfeffer, just because there's so much process between when this was a thing eating lettuce on the ground to when it was on my plate.
Yeah.
You know,
also eating lettuce.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Have you guys ever had gator? Y'all ever eaten gator?
No.
I've heard good things about it. Like, it just, as it tasting like chicken or whatever, but
yeah, it's good. It does taste like chicken, but subtly different.
Yeah.
And
I ate crayfish for the first time the other day at like one of those sort of boil a bag of crayfish and feed it to you restaurants. I don't know that I would do that again.
Is it presented to you as a dissection?
Yeah, you gotta tear the ass sheath off of it. there's like just a real tiny amount of meat, and it's real gross. It's like just eating 1,000 tiny lobsters.
Yeah, I really don't care for crayfish. There's a lot of seafood that like I won't do just because it's so it's like that. Like there's just too much like tearing apart a shell or a carapace to it. And it kind of grosses me out.
The more I can discern and identify the anatomy, the more I'm kind of put off of it.
Yeah, like I love sushi, but I won't eat a tentacle. Like if I see a tentacle, I'm like, I can't eat a tentacle. Yeah. It's not for me.
Like if I have lobster meat just presented as a thing, that is okay.
From this conversation, it sounds like you get meat presented to you like on the regular.
Yes, just people bring it to me. Yes, here it is.
Yeah, just like do you have people in your neighborhood giving you meat tributes?
Yeah. I mean,
he just always stays at that hotel that has meat on demand.
Yeah, Don Ross. I brought you this meat from my family.
Combination hotel and Brazilian steakhouse. There's just the red light, green light outside your door. Yeah. They just keep waking you up with skewers of weirder and weirder meat.
Eventually, you just open the door and there's just a whole like yam euro column with a bow tie on it.
Yep,
like just waiting for you.
Yeah, no, I don't mean to present my lifestyle as one that is solely like mystery meat based, but like I've eaten lobster and I've enjoyed the taste of it, but I'm so put off by the process of eating a lobster, of like cracking it open, and just because all I can think of is high school anatomy class.
Yeah, I don't want to tear apart anything's shell to get into it.
God damn
it! I can't get into a soft shell crab either, which is like you're just eating the shell, and that grosses me out too. It's like eating a spider with like exoskeleton.
Oh, God.
Would you guys eat manta? Just bringing it on back. Y'all ever had manta?
No,
I don't know. Manta seems like it'd be real stringy.
Yeah, or just real tough because it looks like the leathery outside. Like there's not very much place between.
I mean,
the kind of, you know, the outside to the inside.
It'd be like eating shark meat, right? Or like swordfish a little bit.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever had shark.
I don't know that I have. I went to shark and then I immediately jumped to swordfish because that was probably the thing that is more likely to be
eaten, it's
by,
a better movie.
Eaten by humans.
Although it sort of seems like it'd be like eating a shark fin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the manta is just the all fins of shark.
Oops, all fins.
Yep. Really, it's just two. So to be fair, guys, it wasn't that big of a fuck up.
Stop giving me shit for that.
It seems like it'd be hard to eat a manta because they look like they're smiling. Like, yeah. If you flip them over, their weird little nostrils look like, it looks like a really cute, like, emoticon. Like eating an emoticon.
For whatever reason, I can't, when I imagine what the face of a manta looks like, all I can see is the predator. is it anything like that?
Well, its face has two little, like, antennae-y, like, things on it, but not really. Like, it's kind of okay. It's got a big, wide, frowny mouth.
Yeah.
And then a,
but it doesn't have like weird mouth fingers and a gun,
a spear. I guess its tail is the spear.
It does have two. It has two little mouth fingers, but they're like cute little mouth fingers. They're not all slimy like the predators.
Oh, okay.
So that's the thing. A manta is one of the few sea creatures that I've petted in the past.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Does that make you more or less likely to eat one?
Less likely, I think.
Okay.
I think so. Like. I feel weird about eating goat, even though I know that goat meat tastes good.
Yeah,
because I've pet enough goats in my lifetime.
Yeah, because they're real cute, but they're like super dumb. Like when you start getting into the morality of eating animals, like I'm not a vegetarian, but I do think about that. Mm-hmm. Like how smart this thing is should factor into whether I eat it. And and that's another good reason not to eat octopus because they're, you know, geniuses.
Yeah.
But the goats are just like the dumbest animal.
Yeah.
They're so fucking stupid. Same thing with sheep. Like sheep are the dumbest thing. You know.
Which is why yours are delicious.
Exactly.
The dumber meat
turn
is
into columns.
The better it is. They turn into columns.
Like dumb animals get turned into meat columns in this world.
Yeah.
Welcome, sheep, you fucking idiots.
Every time it looks back at burning, it says something behind it. Turns into a column of meat.
God cursed you. The sheep looks back and turns into columns of Nero.
Yep.
It's I was going to say it's ruthless, but it's full of ruth.
Yep. Yeah.
I think you broke coal.
I got coal with my deep Bible cut. Yeah.
Sorry. Wow. Sorry. You got me. Sorry. I'm going to regain my composure very quickly, but that was good.
Oh, thank you.
Points.
Thank
you. Point for Butterfield. Wow.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Well, what did we learn today, guys?
I, you know, learned to love everybody around me and wish the best for them.
We learned all the the weirdest animal each of us has eaten in turn, yep. Which I think is valuable.
Be careful about what hotel you stay at.
Yep.
Yeah, learned a lot about scarabs. Learned a lot about mantas.
I learned that apparently GameFAQs operates under a dibs system.
I saw that too. And this weirdly kind of like, I kind of like the tone of this fact. Like he's kind of like, he doesn't use a table of contents and he doesn't use enough paragraph breaks. So it's really ugly.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that he just doesn't give a shit about it. Like he realizes like, this is a bullshit game,
mm-hmm.
You know? And then he's like, I won't reveal the ending. Cause it sucks.
Yeah. Zach, do you know what the ending of this game is?
I was sort of doing something else while I was watching the YouTube video of it. All I remember is seeing the guy and thinking, "Oh, that guy has big hair." So you're finally unmasked. You're finally allowed to take off your mask.
It's like Kane at the end of Final Fantasy IV. Like, yeah, he's got like a full-on glam metal haircut. Cool.
Your master keeps teaching you different arts as a reward for you having rescued the kids from the previous levels.
Uh-huh.
It's like, mm-hmm. Maybe it would have been easier for me to rescue these children if you had just like, not withheld this important magic information the entire time. Like,
this should not be the carrot. Like when it'd be like, but I need the carrot to, you know, do the thing.
So at the end, he finally teaches him the magic that allows him to keep his face attached to his skull. So he's able to take the mask off.
Oh, that grosses me out. I like how in the game fact it says, he's talking about the ninja arts and it just says a word on arts. And I really thought it was a segue. Like he was just going to start going into like, you know, in our schools.
Here's what
like
arts means to me.
Yeah, it's a shame that we teach this and this, but we don't put money into music and humanities. But Sally, he didn't. Oh, well. Zach, where can people find you on the internet?
Oh, they can. I do a podcast called Video Games Hot Dog, which you can find at videogameshotdog.com. I'm at Zap Jackson on Twitter, and my video game Kingdom of Loathing is available at kingdomofloathing.com.
All of which are heartily recommended by Cole and I.
For sure.
Aw, thanks, fellas.
The Cole and I.
Thanks for having me on your the Cole and I. Sorry. I'll be right back, guys. I gotta feed the Cole and I.
All I see is darkness.
Here comes pie.
Yeah. Yuck. I think it was pie.
It's like the worst talk show. Just
constant conjunctivitis.
Jesus. How do you even miss your drops to that?
Yeah. Just swallow them. They'll get there eventually.
Yeah, the eye there just makes your ass has to rub up against not just, you know, a stream of unending feces, but every once in a while grab the eye drops. It'd be like a good Atari 2600 game.
Man, when all those mystics were talking about a third eye, I thought that was something that, like, you know, saw beyond the realm of the mortal.
Yeah, it's like you wish on a monkey's paw, like you get a third eye, but it's inside your body.
Yeah, that sounded awesome, but now I don't think I want one.
No, it's terrible.
That would be so scary.
But like, it only activates every time you blink.
Yeah. Ugh. Or like you can never see out of it. Like just a third of your vision is darkness. And then you're just sitting in bed and then you can see like light seeping through and you have to like pat down your body trying to figure out like where you've been ventilated to figure out.
Like, Jesus.
Ugh. Yeah. There's a lot of body horror going on in this episode. Yeah.
Just like waiting for somebody to invent glow in the dark, swallowable comic books.
This eye is bored.
All right, listen, Stanley. I know this is going to sound weird, but trust me, there's a market. A lot of people who wished for Buddhic enlightenment on a monkey's paw, they're going to want this.
If you want more of this flavor, be sure to check out the Star Control 2 episode of Watch Out for Fireballs, which yeah. Zach is very kindly guesting on.
Coming soon. Yeah, we're both right.
Well, you guys are very kindly allowing me to be on it. I'm as excited about that as 10 of you.
Well, we're very excited to have had that game suggested to us because we both really loved it.
It's so good. I'm ashamed I haven't played it yet.
Me too.
You know, it gives me hope. The fact that you guys didn't know about it and it's like so good and it like actually landed with you gives me hope that there are awesome games that I'm not aware of that I will love as much as that when I discover them over the course of the rest of my life.
Yeah, that happens to us, you know, a couple times a year for the show. It's really great. Yeah. You know, so, there is hope. Zach, there is hope.
There is hope.
And you bring that hope to others via your entire podcast network, guys.
Thank you.
We try it. We're hope merchants.
You're doing the Lord's work.
Aw, thank you.
Don't turn into a column of anything for you.
Yeah, you're the chosen ones. If I had a column, I'd want it to be Euromeat, though.
Yeah, delicious.
Because I enjoy Donner. Like I enjoy Euro meat, even though it is a gross mystery substance. Yep. Like I'll eat the fuck out of a Euro column. Like I want to get an apartment with one of those pre-installed.
not to bring it back down, but I worry that a lot of the time there's veal in it, and that makes me feel kind of
shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so I just try to pretend that it's probably not. This is one of the ones that's not baby cows, but just baby sheep, which are even fucking cuter.
Yeah. Well, they're cuter, but they're not.
Really, just try to not think about it at all. Yeah. I guess you don't have to torture sheep to turn them into lamb.
Yeah, they just like coat it with foie gras and then just like throw the foie gras away. The my thinking is like, is it veal is probably more expensive to produce than just a regular cow? Mm-hmm. And my thinking is like for a Euro tower, they're going to use the cheapest possible thing. Yeah, so my hope is that it's not full of veal because that would be prohibitively expensive. Because you have to like show the baby cow like pictures of adult cows and furnish its cell with pictures of its family and stuff. Like there's a lot that goes into making a veal. It's
constantly basting itself in its own tears.
Yeah, like a veal is a project. It's like a Miss Havisham-esque like long con to make a veal.
So Miss Havisham Long Con.
Yeah. Yeah. Hello. Thanks everybody for listening. Mm-hmm. You should check out Zach's stuff. You should check him out on Watch Out Fireballs, and you should do the things that you normally will do to help us out. Mm-hmm. But you know, ratings, reviews, patreon.com/duckfeedtv, all those things are great. Yeah. And we will be back next week with another guest.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, well.
Umbasa.
I'll keep my third eye open.
As long as you have an inner goggle, then sure.
I recommend eating an iPod Shuffle over an iPod Nano. Yeah.
Also have a third and fourth ears.
And then you get the vanishing twin syndrome. Like, we all probably do have some vestigial sense organs, like, inside our body, if we're being honest about it.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Like, I just assume, like, everyone's got some kind of tumor with an ear going on. So
I just assume
every once in a while you see a guy that's in a bad mood all the time, and you think, bet that guy's got a butt tongue.
The guy has to constantly listen to Pancreas, like Pancreas FM, 24/7, never stops.
Which is crazy because Islets of Langerhans sounds like a Yes album.
Yeah.